Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello, and welcome to the Chance Encounters podcast. We've been running the board game cafes around the UK for over 6 years now. We've had hen do's to family do's, from first dates to breakups. We've seen it all and recommended a game for every occasion. And now we're looking for a fresh challenge. Each week, we'll invite a guest onto the podcast who will come armed with an abstract and absurd scenario. It's up to us to figure out what that situation calls for and recommend a game that totally connects their four.
Oh, there's four of us.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Whichever game our guest loves the most will score a point. And then whoever has the most points at the end of the series will be crowned the Titan of board games.
Whoa.
I am Richard Scarsbrook. I'm one of the founders and directors of Chance Encounters. And this might be my last podcast. I recently received an email that is to help out someone in another country. And it seems that they've got themselves in a bit of an economic bind, but they're willing to share it with me. Ooh. So I'm going to leave you all in the dust because I'm now rich.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you had like 6 weeks to live or something.
No, I just don't want to be here anymore. I've made my money.
I was going to say, you can still do the podcast if you want, even if you're rich.
I suppose.
He is rich.
Okay, you've convinced me. A twist of my arm. I'll no longer move to the other side of the world. I am joined today with Ben.
Hello, I'm Ben. I work at the Yogscast. I do streaming and other things. I'm a massive nerd and I love board games. I, too, have received poorly spelt emails that I have chosen to ignore.
I just assumed it was the language barrier that was going on. Right. Are you saying that I'm not unique in this?
I think he's cast a wide net. That's okay. All I'm saying.
Well, did you respond?
He's in desperate need. I figured someone else has already beat me to it. I'm not lucky enough to get in there first.
And our guest guru for this week is Russ.
Hello, I'm Russell. I work at Chance Encounters. I wear many hats there at the moment. And I am the guy to go to if you need any pills.
What?
Because I've been receiving many, many emails about pills in my spam folder. So if you need any pills, discounted stuff, like, just let me know because I've got many, many options there.
Well, I didn't know this was a drug podcast.
Yeah, it isn't, but
branching out.
Yeah, it's got to. You know, I'm not the one supplying them. I'm just going to put you in touch with the people. Yeah, I'm the middleman.
Mm. You could call it a pill cast because you also cast the pills into the crowd of people, and everyone's just looking at me.
And our guest for this week is Alex.
Yes, hi, I'm Alex. I'm a freelance content creator. I love board games, and I used to work with Russell actually as a games guru. So
yeah,
I know board games a little bit.
Yeah,
not as well as Russ.
That was actually how we met.
That is how we met.
Mm. Yeah,
wow. And we met through your previous work with Big Potato, and then at the UK Games Expo where you introduced me to Russ, who now I work with.
Yeah.
And Ben's here too.
Me? I met you now.
We've met before.
Story.
Alex has come this week armed with an abstract and absurd scenario. Spoilers, this isn't actually the first time we've ever met Alex and done podcasts before. There's a super secret rare podcast that we've done before.
Yeah, so better not be using the same scenario, otherwise I'd completely ruin that.
I know exactly what board game I'm going to recommend.
Who won that one? I'm going to steal that. Can I go first with my recommendation?
No spoilers, but I remember who won. I won't spoil it. No, I picked a different scenario, and I've gone with something a bit... Well, I think it's kind of interesting. So in my scenario, I have fallen through a portal and I've traveled back in time. And I'm in now, time and space actually comes. I'm in 1920s America. Mm-hmm. It's Prohibition time. And it's a Saturday night. And of course, I'm going to go head straight underground into one of those secret Prohibition bars. And I happen to have a board game in hand. And it happens to be the perfect board game for the scenario. So I'm looking for you to tell me what that board game might be. So I'm just at this Prohibition bar. If you may or may not know how those work, it's like secret
regalas.
I mean I wasn't there, but I've been to like those kind of secret cocktail bars.
You don't have first-hand information of this.
So they're the kind of bars where it's like, you know, you're just, it's like a cocktail bar or whatever. And then and then every, I guess they'd have a lookout or something, and every now and again somebody'd be like, shh, and then everyone has to be quiet, or like they pretend to be drinking tea or whatever the case may be. So it has to be a game where you can quickly like stop whatever you're doing and maybe hide the evidence.
Why do you have to hide the board game though? Board games banned as well.
Yes.
Okay. 1920s prohibition on board games.
Yes.
The booze was fine. That wasn't the issue.
That's not the issue. Yeah. Obviously a lot of booze will be involved as well. So maybe something that's quite simple and that, you know, boozy people can play. And I would say like player count anywhere from two up, but I would say the more the merrier, because you know you want to get people involved.
So I mean, do you know anybody in this bar, or are you going to go and make friends?
I've just fallen through a portal into 1920.
Well, that's true. So
did
basically
anyone else
what you're
fall
saying
through
is
with you?
You're just like, you've got a board game and that's going to be the social lubricant.
I'm just thinking you're missing an opportunity here. What you want to do is you want to go there and invent all the best board games, because there's nothing you couldn't invent back then in the 1920s
the
that you can do now.
I feel like if you're going back to the 1920s and you're trying to like Back to the Future sports almanac this, I don't know if board game design's the angle you want to be going for.
Of the things that you could probably do, you're not going to make the most money from board
games. You could
go write
all the, folks, make all the Beatles songs 10 years early.
I would love that, because I wouldn't be able to remember half the lyrics. So hey Jude, na 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 na.
Come on, you want it,
no, you know.
We don't. No, we don't.
Take a board game.
You just go like duh, duh, duh. No, nothing.
Silence.
Oh yeah, that's because I haven't sung it yet. So you've fallen through 1920s Prohibition. You've decided that you're going to the bar, or did you go straight through the bar? Is this a normal occurrence for the bar?
Let's just say I fell into the bar.
Otherwise you wouldn't know the password, right? The little slit opens up, and they're like, it's the password.
Do you think they just let a pretty woman in anyway, though? I think, like,
probably
two of these
not.
Bars, I reckon.
Because then that's how the cops would get in, right?
But they wouldn't have allowed
would female they have
cops
many
cops
in
the 20s. That's true.
I think you just turn up, they're like, there's no way.
You don't need the password. You are the password.
Wow.
Missed your calling.
I know.
We have just gone.
Sleazy doorman.
We've literally gone back in time.
Sorry, let me just go get my fedora.
So what kind of games do you like, though? What kind of games do you like? Because it has to be a game that you're going to enjoy as well, right?
Yeah, well, I like all sorts of games, really. I'm not massively on co-op games. I'm more of a competitive player, I would say. Just not to say I don't like co-op games. Like I do like some, but as a general rule,
Just like beating people.
You wanna win.
I love a betrayer mechanic, or like social deduction games. You know, where your hole is. Your hole is your role is hidden, not your hole is ridden.
Quite a different game.
Wow.
Either or, you know.
Is that the definition of a spoonerism? Is that where you change the first words?
I do that a lot.
It's probably the one of the worst spoonerisms to make.
It's quite a vivid imagery as well.
Well, you know.
It's the 1920s.
I'm like, doors.
Yeah. I'm like a human autocorrect.
Oh, my name. It's the worst thing when you're just writing out a text and then you just like read it back after you've sent it already and you're like, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, so going back to this, you've gone through this portal. Is it the first time this has happened in the bar? Are you like, so you? Someone spews out. If it was right here, someone spewed out a portal into the podcast room. I'd be like, that's a bit weird. I wouldn't be like, hey, let's play a board game with you. Weird person from the future. Maybe you're an alien. Let's get the FBI in here.
I think I spewed into like a storeroom, so nobody actually saw this happening.
Right. Oh, clever.
Yeah, so I don't know if this has happened
before. Just saunter out of the storeroom. Nobody's looking.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a quick diversion from whoever portaled you through, and then you walk into this room, and then underarm board game.
Yeah.
Because board games did exist at that time. Like the landlord's game definitely was out
chess.
At that time. Yeah. Chess. Yeah. That was more obvious choice. Yes.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's a really obscure reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Board games have been around for a while, as it turns out.
Yeah, true. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Like, I think they dug up like a, I've read in the news, there was a Roman era D20 that they found in ruins somewhere.
Yeah.
Dope.
I feel like I've heard that, yeah.
So you said, you don't like cooperative games. You want to be competitive. But
I'd prefer to be competitive. I don't mind co-op games. If you, I can do co-op, but it's just like not my preferred.
Saying no co-op games would be great though, because we have used them a lot. Probably mined a lot of those.
I'm saying not preferred. Games. I think that's up to you then to maybe steer away
from
it.
You can shoot yourself in the foot if you like.
Yeah.
Leave the option open.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how in an evening perhaps that everybody's going out for some hard drinking, subterfuge away from the cops, you come in and then somehow get them to do some board games. Can you maybe take us through this pitch of how you've managed to convince these people to go to play some board games?
Look, come on, it's prohibition. People are looking to have a good time and they're looking to do it in secret. So I think if you come in and you're like, you guys, I've got a great game we can play, I think people would be like,
people would be like, is this like the landlord's game?
Better.
Is that like chess? That pretty new game, chess?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Well, I guess it's up to you to tell me what the game is, right? And to tell me how then I can talk about pitching it. But
I
see what you've done there. That was a very good sidestep of the question.
Well,
right back at you.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I think people are up for having a good time. So, and board games are a good time. We all know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why we're here.
Yeah.
We do introduce a lot of new people to board games.
Mm-hmm.
Like often people will come to the cafe and they'll be like, I have no idea. That's a lot of games on that wall. So this is right up your alley there, Russ.
Well, you know, hopefully.
Favorite question ever is them coming in going, do you have any fun games?
Yeah.
Anything fun?
Yeah. I think
we're just gonna have boring games.
Literally about half the staff now do that joke of, no, we don't have any like that.
Yeah.
Just
in that kind of place.
Yeah. Just obviously in a joke. We do have fun games.
Yeah, we're basically gonna turn this speakeasy into a board game cafe.
Yeah, pretty much. This is gonna be the world's first board game cafe.
They serve food. I mean, we already covered that they serve alcohol.
Yeah. So I've actually, I've not come through the entrance, but the entrance is through a hot dog diner shop place. And there's a phone booth in there. And you have to like dial a number and then go through. I've actually been in a place in New York where this is the case.
This is so
that's
cool.
Why I'm like, I'm actually speaking from experience.
In New York?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
It's really cool, yeah. So it's just like a hot dog shop, but then there's like a little phone booth and you dial a number and then you go through the door.
You just go in and you're like, wow, how is this hot dog business still going? Nobody's here.
Yeah,
where is everyone?
Everyone keeps going in, but nobody leaves.
Yeah.
What are the hot dogs made of?
There is a place in Leeds, which is somewhat similar. You go through a hairdresser's to get to the club below. It looks really cool.
I went to a few places like that in New York. There was another one where you go to a coffee shop, but there's like a door in the back. And if you keep going, there's a cocktail bar in the back.
Just want to know where this is going to end, because suddenly all these businesses will just, you know, people will be just going and trying to move cases upstairs or like pull things out the till and just to like access this hidden place.
Yeah.
Where's the hidden bit? Where's the better bit?
Ripping up rugs and stuff.
How in the know you need to be, because if you're going to be in Prohibition area, I'm thinking like one level, people are going to suspect. They'll be like, oh, let's just go through that door. And then suddenly you're in a different place. Maybe you're in a gambling den, but then you go through another door or behind that like staircase or whatever else. And then you get to the next place. And it's like four levels deep until you get to the booze.
Right. So you go, yeah, you go into the secret, like, vet's office underneath the hot dog shop. Yeah, from there.
And then you climb through the corpse of one of the animals.
Oh, my God. It's so dark. Yeah, through the morgue. Perfect. Yeah. You climb into the coffin.
Well, nobody's going to suspect that.
The Dorg morgue.
So probably not.
And then everyone's ready to have a good time at the board game cafe.
Yay. Yeah.
heavily legalized. No.
The place could be called Hair of the Dog.
Oh, that's
great.
There's
the pun. There's the pun for the episode. Tick. Done.
I mean, it could be a dog groomers rather than a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a taxidermist.
Yeah. Oh. Taxidermist would be a great secret entrance for a business.
But bad taxidermy.
Yeah.
It's be real
that's
bad.
My favorite kind. Yeah. Like wonky eyes.
Yeah.
In like amazing positions as well.
Yeah.
Nothing like this is what this ferret would have been like.
Yeah.
No.
He's like Superman or...
Just, I just don't know who decides to go into, you know, grows up and says, like, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a firefighter, I want to be a taxidermist, I want to stuff dead animal corpses.
I feel like maybe it chooses you rather than you choosing it.
Just like, I was just desperate for money, so I just took a job and that's how they stumbled into it.
Well, maybe if Alex Sorry hadn't got a portal all the way straight into our prohibition bar, then you could have stopped on the way to ask at the taxidermist.
About what?
Why they got into it.
Oh, right.
And it's like, I don't know. I'm here for cover. Like, I work at the bar.
This is bad taxidermy. Like, I don't have to be good at it.
Oh, sorry. I forgot what the entrance was. Yeah, no, the entrance is still a hot dog shop, but yeah.
Fair. The alternative entrance that I've suddenly created for this.
I just realized the...
It's the way you get out. When they know about the hot dog one, they have to leave through the taxidermy.
There's two
just
entries,
talking about, like, taxidermy and a hot dog place. Like, there is a synergy there,
there
right?
There is, yeah.
Oh, wow. Those workflows overflow, don't they?
Anyway, what board games don't you like?
Co-op, I'm not super, super big on. But also, I hate to say it, because I want to like them, but dexterity games, I want to like them, but I just end up being bad at them, and that just... makes it slightly less enjoyable because I like to be good at games, of course. So I like the idea of dexterity games, but I often don't tend to actually like
that's fair enough. Although so like bars and dexterity games do often go hand in hand. I like to play like Jenga and darts and
that's
like,
true.
The flippy what's that called,
the flippy mappy thing,
the cup.
I only know it from the It's Always Sunny Philadelphia, but that's not the name of it.
I'm all right at Jenga. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like any junk art.
Have you tried the superior Benga at all?
Ooh, yeah. It's a superior way to play Jenga.
What does it involve?
It's essentially the same game, but it's called Benga. And the main difference is you can, as long as you only use one hand, you can touch it as much as you want. You can like, you can pull pieces out and hold other pieces on and slide them around with your fingers.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a bit more involved. You generally get much higher towers, and it's much more impressive. I think it's.
I think that is
way.
More impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Rather.
Although
than...
I thought you're only allowed to use one hand anyway.
But once you can only touch one piece in regular Jenga. Once you've pulled that piece out, you have to balance it on. And
oh, but
it.
You can hold it.
But you
in
can.
Benga.
But as long as you can like grab the thing with your hand and like twist it in a place so it won't fall over and then let go.
Whoa.
So you end up with these bizarre twisted monstrosities that like lean out and shouldn't work.
Imagine adding. Like an extra element on top of that where the Jenga tower is inside one of those grabby machines, and after you've removed the piece you have to put it on the claw and balance it like that.
Oh my god,
that would be cool, right?
You say cool, I mean like
stressful,
fear inducing.
I don't know if you'd ever get past one block on that though. Those claws are notorious,
they're useless, aren't they?
Yep.
I hear that there's like an ability that they can like change the grippiness of those.
That's
there
a thing.
Is there's a setting I've seen someone adjusting them and they basically set to like 1 in 10, 1 in 5, 1 in 20 times it has like a proper grip and it doesn't let go, and then every other time when that setting isn't triggered it's just got like this limp
fingers
I mean at the end of the day it makes business sense because you don't want to just make it so that you grab everything. And there's also have you noticed like when the machines they're more full, obviously they go down, is it till they hit something? Like, because they just drop until they hit something, right? Because otherwise, if it empties out and it only went down a certain amount, then eventually it'd just be too low to actually have anything, and
I think this needs to be a hard-hitting news story about the investigations into grabby claws.
Oh my god, let's expose the carnival industry for what it is.
Exactly.
You mean they're rigged?
Yeah, always have been.
This is blowing my mind. Apparently, these emails that have been sending out have been sent to everybody. Laws are rigged. What is this podcast?
Oh, rich. It's okay.
Sweet summer child.
It's going to be all right, sweetie.
It's not the first time in the last month I've been called a sweet summer child. That's great.
I really want to play Benga now, though.
Well, you can. Well, it's going to be available soon at store.yogscast.com.
Is it just Jenga?
You just turn the J into a B.
Over the
yeah.
J.
Print out a lot of labels.
The rules are different, all right?
I know what you mean by dexterity games, though, because I have also been like, oh, I'd really like to get a dexterity game that I'd really like to play. Mm. But the issue with dexterity games is they're so skill reliant. There's no, you know, clever strategies to kind of adapt and learn from it. It's just, can I do this quick enough or steady enough?
Yeah.
And if you don't have those skills, then you are always going to have a barrier to how good you can be at those games.
It's an interesting one, because when we play board games, you're keen to, like, let's face it, you're probably not going to be playing with the same group.
Are you talking about me specifically? Or?
No, just in general. Because with dexterity games, that is the issue. If you own the dexterity game, you're instantly going to be much better than everybody else. And whilst strategy and knowledge of the game with other board games is an issue, but normally the luck will come into it, within reason, dexterity games can be like, you're just better. Like, if I'm playing against a professional footballer, I'm not going to win. Like, there's not really whatever I'm going to do. Dexterity games are quite interesting.
Well, yeah. It's like a mutual friend of ours, Ben, was told me, and it kind of made me realize, it's like with a game called Geister Splits, which is a fantastic game. I love introducing that to people at the cafe, because it's a reaction game where you flip over a card and you have to kind of deduce not only what item need to grab, but then there's the actual reaction speed to grabbing it first. And he would always do really well at that game.
Yeah,
and I would never be able to beat him, because he had that natural ability. I don't know if I necessarily agree that you're going to be instantly better for knowing the game, because I think what I was saying is that if you have a certain reaction speed at a game like Geister Splits, it doesn't matter how many times you play it, you are still going to be limited by that. Whereas somebody who is just quicker at thinking and quicker at reacting is always going to be better at you, even if they've never played.
I get that with Anomia, for example, which is the same kind of idea, but with the words. Like, I might think of the word, but it's going to take me longer to think of the word than like you, for example. And that is really frustrating, because it's all about thinking of the word and saying the word. Mm. So I just tend to go, until I think of the word.
We've literally played games where you said that. Like, everybody else is like, she's going to say it at some point. It's just like filling the airwaves. Yeah. And then you just don't immediately.
Like, you just feel like you need to say and not make a noise, rather.
I just need to do it because to let people know that I've almost got it.
It's the warning siren.
It's coming.
I will say, though, that there is an element of stress in dexterity and reaction games that I kind of enjoy. It's the good kind of stress.
Yeah.
And that, weirdly, I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the stress of those, even if I'll never be good at them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's mostly in dexterity games, that like the stress element that you don't tend to have that in other strategy games. But yeah, I just don't think that I am a dexterity game fan. I don't think dexterity games are necessarily for me. I'll play them once or twice just because I like to always give them a chance, apart from Jenga. But I will always
Benga. Yeah,
I haven't played Benga, so I'm hoping that will be the one to change my mind.
It freshens it up a bit.
Yeah, well, you know, there's all these takes on Jenga. You've got Dread, which is the RPG where they use the Jenga tower as the clock of the game.
Right.
And every time you have to do a skill check, or instead of rolling dice, you have to remove a piece and put it on. If the tower collapses, then that triggers a bad thing.
That's a great game, but I hate playing it with people who are klutzes. Like, it's a life and death scenario. Like, please be careful with the tower.
They're just blasé. Like, boop, boop, boop. Yeah. Oh, which one is it? I find that dexterity tends to be easier to get to the table, which is, I don't know about you. I mean, you're saying, like, I'm not too bothered about it. I'm like, it normally is the ones that hit the table for me.
Because you don't have to explain them, when people aren't like, oh, how many rules and tokens are there? You can just literally be like, you do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. you can pretty much guess. Like, yeah. It's fairly visually obvious what's going to happen, huh? Yeah.
Having said that, when I worked at the cafe, I had a couple come in before, and they asked for, like, you know, what's your simplest game that you've got? Mm. And I was like, okay. And I brought over a game called Chairs, which is kind of like an opposite Jenga. You get a bunch of plastic chairs and you just have to stack them up and try and get them as high as you can. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's the game. I left them alone with it for a bit, and I saw them bringing it back to the library, and I was like, oh, how was that? And they're like, yeah, it was a bit like too complicated. And I was like, that's the simplest game we have. Like, I can't make it simpler than that. So different strokes for different folks.
Yeah,
as
I guess
they
can just go back to the hot dog shop.
Yeah. Maybe they should try Benga.
Might be one rule too many. I'm not so sure.
I feel offended. Not for that.
I just mean because it's like a game they know, but like it's a little bit different.
So we ruled out somewhat dexterity and co-op games. Is there anything else that you're like, yes, this is what I like playing?
Yeah,
like
social deduction is like probably my number one thing that I love. Mm. Yeah,
and it's good for numbers of people.
I think it's
as
good
well.
For numbers. It tends to be pretty simple as well. You can kind of like mm-hmm. up the rules mm. difficulty yep. as mm. people get used to it with most social deduction games, I think. So mm-hmm. yeah, but like, it doesn't have to be a social deduction game, but that's like high on my list. I also really like deck builders, but
that's going to be trickier to play in like a bar.
Yeah, and as well, I mean,
and especially if you're going to have to pack up all of the drinks yeah. real quick. Yeah. And also, if you have to pack up the game and you just suddenly mix your discard pile in with your deck. Oh,
it's a mess.
I can't, I'm getting sweat just thinking about it. I can't handle that.
Do you find yourself on the strategy or luck side?
I like a bit of both, but I would say luck over strategy if I had to choose between the two.
Yeah.
Just because I like chaos and luck is chaos, so
right.
Yeah. That's okay. Like right up my street.
Somewhat guided chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, preferably a bit of both. Win. Yeah, where I have like some control and it's not all luck, because mm-hmm. that's really frustrating when you just can't do anything about it.
When you've lost on turn one.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I misplayed. And everyone's like, no, you can't take that playback. Sorry, give me a moment.
Yeah, I like a bit of both, but if I had to choose, I would say luck over strat. Yeah.
Cool. Mm. Nice. Mm. So what other questions have we got for this scenario? We know is alcohol going to be a big thing? Are these guys heavily drinking? Are these folks like... Do we have to worry about the mental capacity at this point?
I think people are here for the drinks. Yeah. So mm. I don't know if they're all like off their faces, mm-hmm, but like, mm-hmm. yeah, there'll be a few drinks in probably, and they probably have a drink in hand.
Okay.
So I would also say max. It's pretty dimly lit. I don't know if that's going to make a difference cool. to things.
Have we got much, I mean, this is a very like boring question, but have we got much surface to play these games
No, they tend to be quite either like bar space or like small tables.
Like okay. a keg, like on an upended keg, you know how they have like little cut out woods on top of them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like yeah, they turned some kegs into stools by doing that. Yeah. Mm,
yeah. Mm. Yeah, maybe a bit bigger than a keg, but yeah, fair. Roughly.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not in cowboy times.
All right. Sweet.
Mm. That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, like with the fact that you have to be able to hide the game quite quickly, you probably don't want too much on the table anyway.
Yeah.
So, should hopefully guide you somewhat. Is this... You're all like scratching your heads. I feel like I've posed a tricky one here.
I think one of the games we've previously recommended, which would have gone fairly well with this, would have been something like Two Rooms and a Boom, in terms of that's literally like one card. And
you
they
do
wouldn't...
have the two rooms. You've got the entrance room
exactly.
and then you've got the thing. And you don't
except
have
everyone's going to stay in the booze room. No one's going to want to go to the hot dog room.
You guys can
well,
go
they're hungry. Yeah, like, they get hungry. Yeah. And they tend to swap rooms, don't they, every 3 minutes or so?
But we have the second secret entrance, so they can be like... That's
no,
why
no
it was
one's
made.
Going to the creepy taxidermy room.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to be in there.
It feels so haunted. Like, it's after dark, so it's all closed. Or you go in with, like, a torch, and all those animal eyes are just reflecting at you. Like,
one point in that way, one point in that way.
Are you a part of my team?
Yeah, we're actually missing someone. They didn't come back from the taxidermy room. Oh, dear.
Yes, yeah, this is a tricky one, but I have thought of some, but I feel like there might still be some delving to do.
Okay.
Like, ultimately, how many people realistically are we likely to play with? Because does it matter? Like, I imagine it's just going to be short-ish games where, you know, it'll be done and then you can go on with another group. And what is your purpose, by the way? Like, you know, are you trying to impress these people? Are you just trying to keep yourself entertained while you figure out how the hell you're going to get back from 1920s?
What happens when the bar closes?
Like,
the bar never closes.
How are you paying for the drinks?
I don't know. I don't even have currency of that time. I have like pounds, and I have like a credit card in my bag.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
I mean, I'm not paying for drinks, but maybe that's why I'm playing the game.
They're having such a good time. They're getting you drinks.
They're getting me drinks.
I'm trying to hustle
them. I'm hosting
them.
The game.
You know, because they did like the card.
No,
but I mean, like, how you if you wanted to if you wanted to get free drinks and, you know, make money, you could pick a game that you're really good at that you can kind of look like you're really bad at, so you can like say, hey, we'll play it again, but this time let's play for money. And then this one,
you
come
in
and
you haven't got any money to
well this is up. Why you want to pick the right game. You don't pick a game with any luck. You want to pick a game with strategy. That's what it is,
right. Yeah, so let's say I'm just like, I just want to have a good time, right? Okay. I've just arrived and I'm like, well, I'll have a drink. Maybe I had like $5 in my bag, I don't know.
The reality hasn't quite dawned on you yet,
yeah,
about the fact that you're, you know, 100 years in the past.
Yeah.
And you're in an unfamiliar place. You don't even... Do you even know that it's a prohibition, like, room?
I think you figure it out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
What, when everybody, like, side-eyes
you? Maybe I didn't even realize I've gone back in time. Maybe I think I'm just at, like, a 1920s-themed bar.
But through a portal? Like, how...
I fell on my head, and I woke up, and I don't know. I'm like, where am I? How did I get here? I have a board game. Oh, I'm at a themed bar. I must have come here of my own will.
Wow, everyone's really committing to the bit.
Yeah.
They've even got rid of their mobile phones. Wow.
They're really into this. Nice.
What was the other question? Oh, how many people realistically? I reckon anywhere between two up. Like, I said at the beginning, the more the merrier. So, I want to get more people involved. Like, so ideally not a two-player game, but it can be a two-player game if you want me to be hustling. I don't know.
Could it be a game that's kind of fun to watch then? Because
yeah, that
if
could
people
be good.
Aren't, like, necessarily involved in the game, they might still be like, oh, what's this? So it has to be, has to have an element of spectator enjoyment as well.
Yeah, like a visual appeal. Yeah. That could
crowd
work.
Watching. Yeah. Why not? Mm.
Yeah. I've got one.
I've got one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It clicked in just then.
Oh, wow.
It's quite an interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's recommend some board games. So, Ben, do you want to start this time?
Okay. My game is called Snake Oil, which you might be familiar with. There's a lot of other games that are very similar, so you can pick any of the very similar mechanic'd games. There's like a dozen of them.
It's like a genre of its
own.
It's
a genre, isn't it?
Yeah.
All that's different is the theme. The game's the same regardless, but Snake Oil's the one I've actually played the most of, so that's the one I'm going for. And effectively, you get dealt some random cards with words on them, and when it's your turn, you have to take the random words you've got, make them into an item, and pitch that to is it? Oh, God,
it's like you get one person, an occupation. I think
that's right. Yeah. Someone's an occupation, and you pitch to them your invention and why it's the best. And everyone pitches their invention, and then the customer, the one player who's the customer, has to pick whose snake oil item sounded the best and is one that they want to buy. And then the group rotates around and the next person then becomes the customer and everyone pitches to them. And every time someone buys your pitch, you get a point. So it's really simple. I think it fits the scenario great because there's not very much on the table. You've just got your five cards or whatever it is you have. So that can be packed away really easily. It's very easy for people to watch and listen because it's essentially just people making up rubbish. And, you know, like, oh, you should buy my lightning spade because it's amazing.
lightning spade, that's great.
And I think when you're drinking, it's even more fun because people get much sillier with it. They get much more over the top and come up with ludicrous stuff. So, yeah, it's just really, really easygoing. You learn how to play it by watching one round of it and then you get it. So no one's going to get confused about the rules. I think everyone will have a good time. And it would work for a group. I think it can go up to 10, 12 people. So you can start small and then everyone can be like, oh, what's everyone laughing at over there? And then the group gets bigger and then people join in as the game expands. I think you'd have a good time with something like snake oil.
That's a pretty strong opener.
I would also say that it's probably likely to spur some actual inventions as well. Might give people some, you know, whirring cogs to play. Actually, we should invent a lightning spade.
Sports almanac it here and invent stuff that they don't know exists. And you don't even have to think of it. You're just like, mobile phone.
Yeah. We're like, that never is going to happen.
Yeah.
Mobile phone. Talking on the wire. What is this?
Also, amazing. To be fair, that probably some of the cards would blow their minds because there's probably things that are on there that don't exist. So you'd also be in educating them on what these things
are
as well.
You might have to fish a few cards out of the deck before you started.
Otherwise, it's just a dead giveaway that you're from the future.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, what's a helicopter?
True.
Well, their minds might even be blown by really banal things like, I know, plow. I know that's not the wrong thing because that's
like
a long time before.
What do you think the 1920s?
I know.
Like?
I know.
Like, they didn't know board games or plow.
Board games. That's it. That's the one.
Chess. Yeah.
Pretty.
Dinosaurs. I'm pretty sure.
Guys, I've got this great technological invention. It's called a glass. Whoa! It's like a receptacle for liquid.
It's actually just making me realize how little I know about what was invented when. This is my game.
You should play that
like, timeline game.
Yeah. Actually, there's a game for that. Yeah.
People like anything before 1920, just get rid of them. And just only play with the future cards. Like, I don't know where this isn't a thing.
Yeah.
That's good. And there's also other games that I really like in that genre as well. Like Fun Employed is one of my favorite ones.
Fun Employed was the one I was thinking of. Yeah, I love Fun Employed.
Yeah.
I've played a bit of Snake Oil as well. Yeah, but not a huge amount of it.
I feel like Snake Oil definitely suits this occasion.
They might think Snake Oil is a thing. Yeah, what about Snake Oil? Yes, that thing that we're all buying at the moment.
Yes, I have 5 gallons at home.
Yeah. What is this supposed to be an ironic title?
So we're just inventing real products then. Is that what's going on here?
Really good, excellent products.
Yeah. They're probably all like very suspicious of this new person with the funny clothes is coming, like, oh yeah, pitch me all your ideas. It's totally fine.
Russ, did you want to go next?
Sure. So my thinking of a game was, I only kind of clocked onto it at the end when I was like, it has to be something that is enjoyable as a spectator, because this bar might be full of people and they probably won't all be able to get involved in a game, especially if it's a game with lots of people. Those generally tend to have a few more rules and like nuances about understanding the game. So it had to be something that's super quick to teach, super understandable, no language barrier or anything, but also really fun to watch. And I'm going to say this is a really fun game to watch because I was in a tournament for this game where we had a lot of crowd, and the game is called Strike. It's a dice throwing game, so it does have an element of dexterity in it. And I know I've said this, this is kind of a theme with me saying, oh, I don't like a thing, and then just picking a thing that I actually really like. But this is genuinely one of the only dexterity games that I've enjoyed. Essentially, the box is where you play the game. It's kind of got an arena, so it's got sort of like a curved sort of like indent where you're throwing the dice into it, and it's kind of got like a sort of rubbery surface. And your goal is to be the last player left standing. You have a certain amount of dice to start with, and there is a dice in the middle. And these dice have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, for example. It might be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. And one of them has just got like an X on it. If you, on your turn, you have to throw a dice into the arena, and it has to stay in the arena. If any dice match there, so if I throw it in and there's like 2 twos in there, my turn ends. I get to take those dice from the arena and add them to my pool, and that's my turn done. However, if I don't match any dice or cause any matches, I have a choice whether I want to continue to throw a dice and hope to get matches again, therefore basically, you know, getting dice back into my pool, or carry on again. And then if I throw another dice in and it still doesn't cause any matches, you have obviously this like push your luck element. How many dice am I prepared to keep going and throwing into this pool before I go, I'm done, or do I just go until I've run out of dice.
Because you're making it easier for everyone else.
Yes, yeah. Because any dice left in there, that the next player, they get to potentially match with those dice. So it's a constant like tussle in your mind of, do I keep going or do I stop and cut my losses? The added twist is that if any dice land or are knocked in the arena and they fall on their X side, those dice are removed from the game completely. So you're going to slowly reduce the pool of dice that everyone's playing with. So it is inevitably going to cause a game over situation. And it is literally the last player left with any dice is the winner. There's also a couple of other bits which are really fun. If all of the dice are removed from the bowl because you've removed them all as matches, the next player has to throw all of their dice in at once. And if any dice don't land in the arena, those are also removed as if they've been landed on the X side as well. So that is the entirety of the game. I've honestly had a lot of fun with it. It's super simple. It does have the spectator element as well, because you kind of root for people. And it's also a game that you could potentially bring some sort of gambling in as well, because it is luck dependent at the end of the day. There's very minimal like strategy. It's just, do I keep going or do I stop? But you could also choose to, like, you know, throw your dice at other dice in the pool to sort of like increase the odds of matching. But it also does have that risk of maybe those dice will just get removed from the game.
I feel like this is just a complicated Beyblade.
Having never played that game,
it sounds great. It sounds like the kind of game where people get like so invested that there'd be lots of like cheering.
There
and
is,
like, yeah, it just sounds like a, it so just sounds fun.
The best bit is I was at Aircon, which is a really nice convention hosted in Yorkshire every year, the last couple of years ignored. But it's the Watch It Played team. They're a, like a board game content creation sort of group. They held this strike tournament in the convention, and it went down really well. Like, we had a big crowd watching the final move. And because they did it so that you had a bit of a team, if you were in the tournament, you were part of a team, and as long as one of your people was in the final match, you still had a chance to win. And so it was really like rooting for, you know, your team. And I feel like that could be replicated in a bar. You kind of could just, you know, do it with like a, you have a team of your friends. And it's just really simple. Like, I mean, I know I kind of took a long time to explain it, but if you, it's easier if I just showed you how to throw that in. But it's really good. I really like that game for its simplicity. And I do think it's not going to be too long before we get a copy for Chance Encounters.
I need to know though, how did you do in the tournament?
So our team came second.
Ooh,
I got through to the semi-finals, but I was sadly knocked out. But I still enjoyed it. I still, you know, was watching the final, and it was really good. And as a result, we won a copy of the game that was used for the tournament. So I have a copy of Strike, and I bring it out if I need a game that you can just play in like 5 minutes. And just, it's also because it's just dice in a box, it's so easy to pack it all the way, put all the dice in the box, put the lid on, hide it. Again, perfect for Prohibition. So
you'll hear that whistles and it's away.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It'd take like 2 seconds to pack up.
Nice.
So,
all right, another strong one.
You saying that reminded me of another game that would be really good.
Okay.
However, I'm going to go for my original pitch because the packing up is potentially a situation with the first one. So my pitch for this one is a game that probably most people will be like vaguely aware of. It was kind of brought to popularity with Pirates of the Caribbean, and it's called Perudo. Now, Perudo has a bunch of rules, and if you actually read the rule book of Perudo, it operates slightly differently to how I, as it were, house rule it. It's not one of those situations where you get taught by someone, you never read the rule book, and then when you read the rule book, you're like, no, there's actually some
classic
rules.
Classic Monopoly situation.
Exactly. Wait, why is there cash under this cup? What's going on here? But the idea of Perudo is it's kind of like Liar's Dice. You have a cup, you have 5 dice in there, you give it a shake, you put it down on the table, and only you get to see what's underneath that cup. There'll be a variety of numbers in there, but you're going to be using them to bid towards whoever's going to have like the most outlandish number of dice, as it were. So you might be saying, like, I think there's going to be three threes. And what you're saying is, on this entire table of everybody that's playing, I reckon there's at least three dice with the three face. And so everybody else has their own information, but you only have, like, you know, a fifth or a fourth of the information that's come on it.
But yeah, if there's like five of you playing with five dice each, there's 25 dice in the pool effectively.
Exactly.
So there should be roughly four or five of every number on average. But if you've got four fives, you know, there's probably quite a lot of other fives out there.
And so the idea is that you each take a turn by putting your bid in. And the idea is that you're trying to kind of, well, you can play in several ways, but you're always trying to either call out the last person, because if they lied, then they lose a dice. Or you want to be kind of maybe truthful so that whenever you place a bid, the next person's either going to not want to call you out and make their own bid. Or if they do call you out, then you're correct, and then they would lose a dice. So you're basically trying to protect your dice, which are essentially your lives, at all costs. There is also the ability that if you think, I think you're spot on, I think there's exactly three threes in this entire thing, then you can call that. If there is exactly three threes, then everybody else loses a dice. So it's actually quite a good catch-up mechanic if you're like in need. Perudo has ones as wild cards. We don't talk about that. Maybe you'll use that. Read the rule book if you want to use that particular rule. But I think it's really good. It's really easy to clear away. Again, a bit like Russ's, it's just some dice. Each person will have their own set of dice that's going on. You can easily hide those. It's also a cup that you're using to cover it. You could just use your hand. You could improvise, that's the word. You could improvise with whatever else you've got, or you could just pretend you're drinking some soft drink in the cup when the police
come
through.
Coffee cup or something,
exactly. We've all happened to have just finished our coffee. Oh, that's a surprise.
There's dice in the bottom of mine.
I'm reading the dice leaves. So I think it's good. It goes from I've played a actually number of games at two player, and surprisingly holds up.
Because it is like a last player left standing, right? So it does eventually go down to two anyway.
It can take a long time to like whittle everything
it
down.
It can do, it's quite good for a spectator sport, especially when people are like, no, there's definitely not six sixes in here. You're a
maniac.
You're mad lad. What's going on here? And then they're like, well, I've got five of them. Does anybody else have a six? And they're like, yeah, we actually do.
It can be a bit like poker, can't it? It's that kind of like style game where you're bluffing and you're also trying to read other people. I like that a lot.
And Liar's Dice, it was featured in stuff like Red Dead Redemption. I may have spent a bit too much time in Red Dead playing Liar's Dice. So
Stephen Fry is like a massive supporter. Like, he was like a what do you call those people who like
advocate?
Ambassador or something for like a few years ago. That was like a big thing.
What for?
For Perudo.
Oh, I thought you were like Red Dead 2.
And we've also got Stephen Fry on side. You can't not pick on, because otherwise
you're in the portal.
Exactly.
If I don't pick it, I hate Stephen Fry.
How could you?
A national treasure.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Like reads the Harry Potters. He's wonderful.
Well, these are some very good picks. Very strong picks. So I like Perudo. I actually only started playing Perudo quite recently. My partner got me into Perudo because he's like obsessed with it, and now he just really loves playing it because I'm really good at it. The same thing happened actually with poker as well.
What you're saying is it's also an entryway into you hustling your way back.
Yes, that's a good point. So there's the hustle angle, and also I like lying games like that. So that's great.
Saying other good reasons why you like it.
Russell's Strike. I've actually never even heard of Strike, but I really want to play it. Like, it sounds great. And I really like games like that where it is a spectator sport as well, like where people like gather around and really get into it. Like Clask is another one like that, actually, I think.
And also because it takes like 5 minutes, 10 minutes for a game, it's easy to just sub in and then you don't have to wait too long for a thing like winner stays on kind of situation.
I can hustle as well. Another hustling. I think all three of these are actually good for money wise, because Ben's also, as we've already established, people may invent things that I can then bring to market and sell for millions. These are all really strong. I would say the only thing with Rich and Russ's is about, both of them involve dice and throwing of dice, which can be quite noisy and might not necessarily be like noise that you would associate with, for example, if we're pretending to be a coffee bar or something like that.
Pointed that it's got a rubber base. Actually make that
much
noise.
Yeah, but you might hit other dice and things, right?
I mean, you're not like shaking a Dyson cup together, like
whoa,
like a sound of a cocktail.
Don't throw me under the bus here.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, they presumably were allowed to gamble during Prohibition. No,
if you're not, if
Prohibition
whole,
on everything that was sinning.
The whole point of a Prohibition bar is you're not actually supposed to be drinking. I don't think the legality.
It's not
of,
the drinking that's the issue. It's the playing with dice, right? It could be just a games room.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you're already doing something illegal, I don't think saying, "Oh, that other thing that we could be doing is illegal."
We're doing
we should be doing.
Way
we
better.
Should only be doing this illegal thing. Like, I think you're all in at that point.
Yeah.
The
okay.
point is that we don't want too much noise that might not be associated with the area, just because we want people, we just don't want people coming in all the time checking
in. Hot dogs don't have a lot of dice being rolled.
Yeah,
could be ruffle shuffling the cards, man. That's pretty noisy as well.
How are you shuffling your cards?
You know that, you know when poker players when they do that.
I don't really think you need to do much shuffling.
I know I'm fighting a losing battle, but I'm just gonna keep fighting.
There's gonna be too much mirth going on with snake oil.
Yeah, to be fair, all of the games are gonna have, like, you know, the crowd going wild.
Oh, yeah. Going to be so, cheering and yeah. clapping.
I think the I'm clearly going for snake oil here.
You don't have to justify it. It's fine. We all understand.
I will say it's just mainly because I love dice games, right? But like it's the fact that you don't have the noise of the dice, but also the fact that the noises that you do have of the game are noises that you might find in like a coffee shop anyway, like conversation noises,
yeah,
right?
Just so, chatting and stuff.
Yeah. So I think I will have to go with Ben's. I've played 2 out of 3 of these games, and I would say actually Snake Oil is my least favorite out of the 3 games,
wow.
but is the strongest one I think out of the picks
for the scenario.
Yeah,
I just knew you loved the mystery game that you'd never played before.
I really loved your game. Actually, yeah, and I let's play it after this. Like, I'm
no, not
it.
Anymore.
Never to be seen again.
No, I think it's a good one. I think Snake Oil is great. Yeah, I don't think you're going to be making a lot of money out. Certainly not immediately. Like, you could play
game.
Perudo, and then you'd be able to, you know, go and stay
somewhere.
I don't
know how long I'm stuck in the 1920s, though.
Agreed.
I also say with, which, by the way, Snake Oil is a really good game, and I actually used to have it at the cafe I used to work at. But I feel like you'll have to take a load of cards out. Like, they have no idea what that is. They'll have. It's like we have a copy of 22nd Showdown, which is a game at the cafe with a lot of activities. But there are certain cards in there that you don't really want people doing at a cafe, for example.
Like
remove an item
or
clothing, and you're like, right, we're going to take that one out. So you have to kind of set the game up, and I feel like you'd have to do that with Snake Oil as well.
But I guess with that, you could just have like oldie timey parchment written with quills in. You could just add your own whenever you want.
It's the 1920s. It's not
with quills
ancient
and
Egypt.
Like, this is my papyrus.
Get that copy of Timeline out. When was paper invented?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on?
Mass printing? Who made that?
They had like newspapers, and I'm pretty sure in the 1920s.
That's false advertising.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake newspapers.
Yeah, that's big paper. You're a sucker for believing
exactly.
all their lies.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on and picking the worst out of all of them.
Yay!
Thank you for having me, and thank you for pitching some great games.
No worries.
Good to have you. Thank you.
Where can people find you?
I'm Board Game Yogi everywhere. I'm on Twitch, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. I'm all the places. Board Game Yogi, or Alex Lowleys is my name. But yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on. It's been great having you. And that's all from us for today.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't considered, check out the podcast in the audio form on all the cool formats that you can go.
Wherever you get
ones.
Your podcast.
Exactly. We would love it if you could, you know, leave us a comment. Maybe what would you have pitched in this scenario? Mm. Did you think that our games were good enough?
Yeah.
Did you have a better one? What would Alex love instead of snake oil? What could she make some money off?
Two rooms and a boom. Exactly. Pitch two rooms and a boom.
You'll be insta-picked. But thank you so much for joining us, and have a good one.
Bye. Bye.